You are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK Community Radio. Hi guys, my name is Esmeralda Alverde Duarte and I am a senior at Roaring Fork High School. I am an intern with ASIAP and I am so glad to be talking to the 2023 Chris Klug Foundation Award winners. Maria Fernanda Fisola, Dave Galbensky, and Katrina Fountain, to have a conversation about their involvement in the donation, transplantation, and caregiving communities. This Chris Klug Foundation is a nonprofit organization based in Aspen that focuses on organ transplant advocacy and awareness. Thank you so much for joining me, guys.
Thank you for having us.
I'm excited to be here, Esmeralda.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I would like each of you to just tell me a little bit about yourselves. Why are you here today?
Yeah, first off, we're really honored to be part of the 2023 CKF Award Program. They had an amazing wine and dine gala last night, and I'm here as the 2023 Bounce Back Give Back Award winner.
Awesome.
And I'm so grateful to be here. And the reason why I'm here is I had a living donor liver transplant about 3.5 years ago. My brother-in-law, Mark Dibas, saved my life by donating a portion of his liver to me. And Esmeralda, what's amazing is that liver, the left lobe that came out of him, mm-hmm. put into me, regenerated to full size in 8 weeks. And the remaining right lobe in him, same thing. The most amazing thing for humans to regenerate an organ. The liver's the only one that does it. So really fired up to be here to spread that message.
No, yeah, that's insane. I was reading a little bit about that on a website, actually. And I was like, oh, I will need to ask him more about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So Katrina, tell me, why are you here today?
So I am the 2023 Hero Award recipient, and 23 years ago, my son, Jaleel Williams, was born in August 4th of 2000, and 5 weeks later, he stopped breathing for no apparent reason. And for that week, they worked on him. They were able to start his heart back, but they wasn't able to get him to breathe on his own. And unfortunately, we had to let him go. But before that, an advocate from Live One New York came in and spoke to us about organ donation. And of course, me being 18, knew nothing about it. And something in me said yes. And that night, a team of doctors came in and said that there was a 2-month-old baby boy that's in desperate need of a heart. And if he doesn't get it, then he will not survive. A couple of months after that, I got a letter in the mail said that my son saved 2 babies' lives. He saved an 11-month-old baby girl with his liver. And he saved a 2-month-old baby boy with his heart. And so on his 21st birthday, I wanted, because as you can imagine, I'm 18 and life continued on and I had two more kids. So on his 21st birthday, I wanted to do something that honored him, that I'm able to say his name again, because I stopped saying his name. So I went back to where it started from, and that was with Live One New York. And the next day that I got in contact with them, they were able to find the liver recipient. So she was now 23 and she was having her own baby. So my baby gave her life, and now here she is, was given life. So that made me run and want to volunteer my services, and Live On New York made me realize how impactful my 5-week journey was. And now I use that platform to try to bring awareness and start a conversation, because not a lot of people conversate too much about being organ donors.
Yeah, no, I don't hear about it often.
Right. And, you know, just to start the conversation among a group of friends or around the kitchen table, whatever I can do to start that conversation, I'm screaming it loud and proud. So that's what brought me here, and I'm so honored and so blessed to be here, just to be on your radio station and to be at the Wine and Dine last night and to win the award. It's just been an amazing adventure for me.
Yeah, it's insane for both of you. There are so many people on the wait list for organ mm-hmm. transplants, and it's crazy that both of you.
Mm-hmm. It's over 100,000 people in the United States, and the vast majority of them are kidney and liver. And here's what's amazing, Esmeralda. There's been a dramatic, great push in the United States for organ donation registry, which is incredible, making a huge impact. But living organ donation is this emerging parallel path that we think can make a dramatic impact on the wait list, because everyone can donate a kidney. They have 2 of them, mm-hmm. and they can live on one, so they can make an immediate decision.
Woohoo!
Exactly. And then with this amazing liver that regenerates, people now can say, wow, I can give a portion of my liver so someone else can live. And it's what we've tried to do with our Living Liver Foundation, which is something that my wife and I founded in February of 2022, was to really build awareness about that one thing, that you can give an organ, a kidney, or a portion of your liver to keep someone alive, and then to dispel some of the myths, particularly on the liver side. And we've had a lot of fun with it, focusing in on some living organ donation events. We call them the Living Donor Awareness Games, and we've had a blast with them. I have a huge passion for baseball. So what we've decided to say is we could really build some cool awareness by showing the living donor that donated either their kidney or a portion of their liver, delivering a baseball in a ceremonial first pitch to the recipient. What better visual than to see that, both of them alive?
Yeah, that truly is awesome. It's like the passing of this.
Yes.
Like communal, I don't know, this thing that you. Yeah.
It really is, and everyone lights up when they see it. So we've had the good fortune of doing two of them in the minor leagues up in Michigan at a place called Jimmy John's Field. We had a neat event on July 14th, just a few weeks ago, where we actually had someone that donated their kidney altruistically. They didn't know the recipient, and they met them on the mound getting ready to throw out the first pitch for the first time.
There.
So you talk about chills. It's unbelievable. And then we just did a living donor awareness game at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, Ohio, with the Cincinnati Reds, the professional baseball team. And we had a living donor liver pair. A younger brother saved the life of his older brother by donating a portion of his liver 5 months before he was throwing out the first pitch on the field. So you can imagine, they were in a hospital bed 5 months ago. The recipient, end-stage liver disease, maybe not living. His brother steps up to save his life. And then 5 months later, they're both fully active, throwing the ball and catching the ball. And you know what was cool about it, Esmeralda?
Tell me.
The pitch made it all the way there, and the recipient caught it. So we're like, just like the liver, the baseball made it.
Amazing. That's such a cool symbolic. How did you come up with that?
Yeah, well, for me, I've been a baseball fan since I've been 7 years old, right? And just always enamored with baseball stadiums and this first pitch, right? And just the beauty of it being an individual sport, but yet you need a pitcher and a catcher, right? And so what better way to know that, hey, in community, you need both people to play a baseball game, someone to throw it and someone to catch it. And we're just like, wow, that's kind of like transplant. And wow, wouldn't that be really cool to demonstrate it? Because I think if you can bring it alive, people can see that, hey, living organ donation's possible. And that's one of the messages that we want to get out there.
I love the symbolism in that. It's so perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah. So what is the name of your foundation?
Yep, it's the Living Liver Foundation, and it's at livingliver.org. And we're really about three things. We want to honor the living donors. We want to educate the public on the power and possibilities of organ donation.
Yes.
And then
yes.
What we hope is we can inspire people by sharing their stories to learn more about living organ donation, or maybe even step forward, because you can save the life of a loved one, a family member, someone that's maybe a friend. But what's really cool is we're seeing this trend for people to step forward and give to a stranger. And to me, that's unearthing those angels within us that everyone has. And it's the more we talk about these stories, the more angels we see emerging on earth to become living donors, because I call my brother-in-law, Mark Dibas, my angel on earth.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
So, Katrina, for both of you, this experience really changed your life, I would say. Like having to make the decision, Katrina, that you made at such, first of all, a young age. I'm 17. I can't imagine having to make a decision like that, and let alone be faced with one like that.
Yeah, I still can't imagine, and I went through it. But it has been, you know, I didn't see the bigger picture back then, but something moved me because in the hospital, when the advocate came to speak to us, I had my father there and I had my whole family there, and I'm such a daddy's girl. And so when he came in, he was like, so you guys want to be organ donors? And instantly my father was like, no. And normally I would have been like, no, you know, following him. But something in me pushed me to follow that no with a yes. And once the team came in and said there was a two-month-old baby boy that would not be able to survive without this heart, instantly I just knew, okay, I don't know why, but I made the right decision. And here it is, like full circle, 23 years later. It's such a healing journey for me, and I didn't even know I needed to be healed from it, because you think so many years went by, you know, it's, you're kind of over it, so to say.
Right. You kind of like brush it off.
Right.
You try to forget.
Right.
Yeah.
And especially I only had 5 weeks with him. So as you can imagine, I literally have 2 pictures of him, and I have no stories to tell but this one, and not knowing how impactful it was. And so here I am saying his name every day, something I didn't do for a good 15 years of my life. And I'm changing lives, and I'm going into hospitals, and I'm working closely with our organization in New York to reach out and to talk to people, and just been so inspired and healing. And my family now are getting involved. And my dad and my mom are now volunteering, and they didn't realize how much of a healing process this is. So not only am I, you know, going on advocate, I also partnered with Live on New York to do support groups for donor families, just to let them know that, you know, there's hope after you lost someone, and there's a light at the end of the tunnel. And not only that, you have a whole community around you that is here to support you and uplift you and to get you to the new level, and to have a different relationship with your loved one that you lost. And what better way to honor them but to give life? So I'm on every platform I can be, every radio station I can be on, to scream that.
And so what is the name of your foundation?
So,
or the foundation?
It's so funny you said that. So being here in Aspen, I have been battling with what more can I do? How can I put myself more out there?
Right.
And we were just sitting around the table, and I was just throwing an idea, and I wanted to talk about, I want to start a foundation in New York where mainly I'm focusing on the African-American community, because there are so many myths that are happening, that the thought process that they have, and, you know, rightfully so, the things that we've been through and stuff, but to change their thought process and to understand that 70% of the people that are on the list are African Americans. And just to go into the communities and educate and start that conversation. So I was throwing out ideas, and I say, guys, this experience right here has inspired me that I want to start a foundation, and I want to call it Jahlil's Friends.
Oh, and that's so beautiful.
Spectacular.
And the connections have already been made, you know, working with the hospitals and then coming out here and working with Dave and Maria and Anna and Jesse and just talking to them. I am so fired up, and I want to go and do the work. I'm ready to, you know, have block parties because, you know, New York City is known for a good cookout and block party, just to bring awareness. And, you know, I want everybody to become Jahlil's Friends. And actually, Maria, who is one of the award winners, her daughter inspired me as well, because I also have a company called Grief to Heal. I'm a certified life coach, and I specialize in grief healing. And I've always been focused on the donor side of losing someone. And when I was speaking to her, and she was like, well, you know, it would be great if you would start a support group, because I'm grieving on living, you know, not being able to live my life as a teenager. And I was like, I thought about it. I was like, oh, my God. So, you know, just the thought process of going into what better way of a donor mom going into the transplant world, into the part before they actually get the transplant, to help them and to connect the people who are going through the same situation, to be able to open up a chat room where they can come in and talk to each other and talk about what they're feeling and, you know, how they're doing. And maybe there's a procedure that they went through that the next person's about to go through, and they can help them figure out how to get through it and what worked for them, what better way to start something like that. So I've just been so inspired here. And when I tell you I'm going home to work and I'm going to be emailing Dave and everybody, they're going to get tired of me because I'm like, I need help. And we all have the same goal. The end goal is to eliminate the list altogether.
Yes, yes.
We all have the same goal. And so why not have different, as they say, chapters in different states that we can all just meet in the middle and just bang this out?
Yeah,
different resources. Mm-hmm. I love that you are so inspired. I think that this community, like the Roaring Fork Valley in general, is so supportive mm-hmm. of things like that. And it sounds beautiful.
Thank you. I'm excited. So hopefully I'll be back here with Jalil's friends next year mm-hmm. and you'll be interviewing
us. We can totally do one. It's beautiful that you guys, everything that you're doing, because ultimately we're benefiting everyone.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It brings so much joy to people and obviously to those who receive the organs. Mm-hmm. They are pretty happy too.
I can vouch for that, Esmeralda. Each day I get up, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for my brother-in-law who gave me a second chance at life. I'm grateful for the chance for just the small things in life.
Yeah.
You know, seeing a beautiful sunrise, seeing it set, being able to walk outside, walk up a trail and be healthy again. And that's what I think that gift of life of organ donation does mm-hmm. is it takes someone that is literally at potentially the end of their life. Because in the United States, 17 people a day out of those 100,000 die waiting for an organ. And if we can give them hope when they're on the transplant list waiting, and then change their lives. You got a bunch of grateful people out there that just are enjoying being alive.
And as a donor mom, you would think it was just on the transplant side because, of course, they get their life back. But as a donor mom, we get our life back too, to be honest, because, things happen to our family members and to our loved ones that we have no control over. And,
yes, yes.
Unfortunately, what better way to honor them and just burying them and, doing nothing and just going to bury and, visiting them at the gravesite. But you can actually feel that my son's heart is in somebody's body. And 23 years later, it's beating and he's still living his life. And he went to school and he, maybe got married and had his own family and gave his family, I gave his mom back their son. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, it wasn't in my plan to keep mine, but now I see the reason why mine was brought here. And you don't know why. You don't know, what could come out of that. But as a donor mom, it has been so helpful and so much healing has been just happening to me, just knowing. And I've never met my son's heart recipient, and I've never met his liver recipient.
Okay.
But I meet recipients every day and all the time. And I feel so connected to them because I'm like, my son did that,
Yes.
He was a part of that team to help bring life back to that body. So we feel the same way as the recipient feels.
So what would you say to any parents or really anyone who's struggling with letting go of a piece of that loved one? I know that it wasn't an easy decision to make, and it probably won't ever be for anyone, but if you could say something to them, what would you say?
Unfortunately, you don't find the right words to say to somebody who is dealing with that, and sometimes they're not in the right mind frame to even receive what you say.
Yes.
But you being there and you sharing your story and sharing that I've made it to the other side and this is how it feels and, let's work together. And that's, what I'm trying to do is just inspire and just uplift and help them get through and find their own healing path. So I don't know the right words to say all the time because every situation would, I would have to say something different.
Of course, different circumstances.
Right, different circumstances. But just being there and showing up and allowing them to see that, hey, we can do this together. Just take the step. Let's, unfortunately, we can't save what's happening, but we can save somebody. and take it from there. And sometimes they don't want to receive it. They don't want to hear it. And you have to accept that too, but I'm still here for you and we'll figure this out. But maybe they can use that story, because there's so many people out there who's like, no, and they might have been that no, but after still standing by them and still inspiring them and still being there through their healing path, they can use their story to inspire somebody else.
Yeah, they might reconsider
right,
or something.
Mm-hmm. Right, so it might not be the words for them, but it might be me being with them and holding their hand through the process, that they can use that to inspire the next person. So you just don't know which way it goes, but just should be there.
Thank you.
Thank
guys
you
so much. I know that you guys are focused on inspiring people and, you know, helping, sharing your story, and you have for sure impacted me.
Awesome.
Thank you. You're carrying the message, so thank you, because you are carrying our message to valleys that we were not even able to reach yet. So thank you.
Thank you for having us on. Grateful
absolutely
for you.
Hello, my name is Esmeralda Alberto Duarte, and I am an intern with ASIAP. Today, joining me is Maria Fernanda Villasola and her beautiful daughter, Nevaeh.
Hi.
So how did you find out about the Chris Klug Foundation?
Actually, I was nominated, but I didn't know.
Oh my goodness, that's really funny.
So when they emailed me to say that I had won, I was
doing
what? Research. But then I found out that my organization actually knew about them, because we also have a program for high school. And we have this program called Go Recycle Yourself that is more focused on younger people. So they have worked with them before. And that's how I started learning more about them. And I'm just so grateful that they were able to recognize how much we're working with the community. And also the part that they were thinking of me as the caregiver, because yes, I was my ex-husband caregiver, but now Nevaeh has kidney failure, and I'm her caregiver. The only difference is that now I have more knowledge of everything that's happening. I'm able to have information and resources in Spanish, and I'm able to help other people and other families that are going through this.
So you were the 2023 Chris Klug Foundation Award. You were nominated for the caregiver.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. And so tell me how you felt when you received that award.
I was nervous at first, but everybody was so nice, and it made me really happy to see that they were seeing the work we do, because it's hard to be a caregiver.
Yes.
And we're not going through the same thing they are going through, but we are the ones that are with them, supporting them, giving them all the hope they need. So it was really nice, and they also recognize the community engagement I do, and that's also pretty nice, because they are able to see how we're working with communities that need more support and awareness, but in their own language.
So tell me a little bit more about your experience as a caregiver for a transplant recipient. I don't imagine that it's an easy one.
It was not easy, because my English was not perfect at that time, and there was not resources in Spanish. Nobody offered an interpreter for me. And my ex-husband, he is from here, so, and he had gone through that when he was 19. He received his first kidney transplant. So he knew the process, but it was everything new for me. So I had to learn on my own. I mean, he helped me, but to me, it was like I had to grab a dictionary, I had to go to the library. So that made it really hard. And at the same time, I had a toddler, so it was like a really tough experience. But now that I'm going through the same thing with my daughter, now that she's 17, like I was saying, I'm just like more prepared. I can advocate for her. So the change has been really interesting because now I'm able to help other people too.
It's really inspiring to hear what you're going through because my mom and family are also from Mexico. So it's, I know that my dad had open heart surgery, for example, a couple of years ago. And my mom too, she didn't know much English. They had to go through that whole process with hospitals and, you know, understanding what does this mean? What does this illness mean in English? What does this condition mean in Spanish? Like, it's pretty hard how it translates because it's not always perfect.
No, I mean, I have been through every stage, I want to say, as the caregiver, as the interpreter, as the person that works now with the Nightlife Northwest and doing all the awareness.
And also simply as a mother.
Or and as now like as a family. Mother. Yeah, so you can see, like you're saying, it's not that easy when English is not your first language. And when you're coming from a country that we don't talk about this. I mean, the myths and misconceptions that we have are just like really, they're a lot.
You're listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK. I am Esmeralda, and I've been talking to the 2023 Chris Klug Foundation Award winners, Maria Fernanda Filasola, David Galbinski, and Katrina Fountain. The Chris Klug Foundation works to raise awareness about the importance of organ donation, dispel myths and misconceptions surrounding transplantation, and encourage individuals to register as organ donors. Thank you to all who listened.